The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is supported by Bisquick. With Bisquick, you can make homemade pancakes and classic breakfasts for your family. Recipes at bisquick.com.
It's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon. Of course, spring comes on, May comes on. Big thing in Lake Wobegon. Not to you, because you have spring all year round here, of course, but to us, it's like the earth turn somehow. We expect spring in April, but it doesn't quite come. We're always disappointed, and then the disappointment of April leads to this joy that comes on with May. First of May used to be a big Norwegian holiday, May Day. When they first came over from Norway, they would build a big bonfire and dance around it, and they'd wear outlandish clothes, and they'd drink a lot. And the idea behind May Day was that you could say anything to anybody, and they would forgive you for it later. It was a fertility celebration, and so you could do anything you wanted. But of course, these were dark Lutherans, and so they couldn't really permit this. Gradually, May Day died out. But still, within our hearts, we have this beautiful feeling when spring comes on. Arbor Day, when all the little kids up in the school bring their little white pine seedlings and they put them in the ground, and they're just beyond in the school forest are the trees that kids planted 50 and 60 years ago. You look at those great high trees, and the children are meant to learn the lesson that in life, we accomplish good that we ourselves will not benefit from and that we ourselves will not see. This is the greatest good. We're not sure they understand this. Children of 9 or 10 looking at each other to see which child is permitted to have her ears pierced, which child is allowed to have highlighting. At the age of 9. Spring and Mother's Day, and then the opening of walleye season, two great events coming in just close proximity to each other. The Inquist's dog, the old dog Charlie, came in from the woods. It looked like he was bringing a piece of driftwood the other day, and then Judy Inquist looked at him closely, and he had brought part of the carcass of a sheep, which he was chewing on. It was a sheep that had been dead for a long time. They're just the bone of one leg and part of the hide and a little bit of the head as well. She seized it from the dog and she threw it into the garbage, and she looked for a toothbrush and for dog floss. And while she did, the dog came inside, and when she found the dog was up on the lap of her husband. Pastor Inquist was licking him on his face. She said, "Get down," to the dog, but she didn't say anything right away to her husband, because her husband took the dog right back in his lap. He said, "It's okay, it's okay." And then she realized that she had waited too long to say something. She should have let out a shriek when she first saw this. And now it was hard for her to say, by the way, about 5 minutes ago, that very dog who's in your lap right now and who's kissing you on the lips, that dog brought home the part of a carcass of a sheep. She didn't know what to say. She watched her husband closely for signs of cataleptics or some ailment all week. It was a difficult week for him because there was a ceremony up at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church. An old janitor, Mr. Hoppe, had been inducted into the Lutheran Church Custodians Hall of Fame, which is in Lafayette, Indiana. This old man, who was a fright when he worked for the church, terrible getting this man, trying to get the thermostat turned up in the wintertime up past 66 or 67 degrees. When he retired, he left bottles of Old Crow strewn in the furnace room from pillar to post. So it was difficult for the pastor to do what he had to do and say what he had to say in public in honor of a man whom he despised. But we have this ability in Lake Wobegon to look reality in the eye and to deny it. This is a town where the welcome committee comes around with the baskets of fruit and the coupons after you have lived in town for 10 years. We just want to make sure. Just want to make sure that you mean it. All the boys coming down to the Mercantile this week to be suited up for the prom. All these boys walking in the big baggy pants, their belt down just above their knees, big voluminous sweatshirts, great big tennis shoes, none of them laced up. Boys walking in to be suited up for the prom, a night in Paris. They'll be wearing their cummerbunds and their tuxedos, black tie, and their studs, their cufflinks, and they rent shiny, shiny black shoes as well, paying an enormous amount of money to all look like penguins, all be identical for this great spring event, also a fertility rite. One not meant for boys, meant for girls who've been saving up their babysitting money and their car hop money from last summer, spending hundreds of dollars on a gown that should not look like any other girl's gown that they will wear for their one night as royalty and then put it away and not wear it again at midnight on prom night there, or 1 o'clock, maybe 2 a.m. now. The clock will sound and their coach will turn into a pumpkin and they will become Lutherans again. But briefly, for that one magical night, they will have this enormous, enormous experience, which we now feel a little bit of as spring comes on. We feel this great warmth and this great burgeoning in the world. She watched Pastor Enquist closely all week. Many people were depressed this week. It got up to 80 degrees on Wednesday, and then Thursday morning it was down to 40 degrees. Some people shared their medications with other people. But Pastor Enquist seemed quite cheerful as he came on towards the end of the week. They went to see the school play Thursday evening, and that was kind of a big success. It was the Music Man this year. They all went out for the big dance number, Shaboopy, Shaboopy, She's My Shaboopy. The girls dancing with great abandon and joy, and the boys dancing carefully, carefully, with that great, terrible dignity of 17-year-old boys, watching themselves carefully, trying to gauge what other people think of them, walking gingerly around the stage. But it all went well, and nothing fell on anybody. Nobody collapsed weeping on stage. At the end, Harold and Marion stood on the footbridge, and they sang, "There were bells on the hill, but I never heard them ringing, never heard them at all, till there was you," and actually seemed to mean it in their hearts. Pastor Enquist started writing his sermon the next morning. It's Good Shepherd Sunday in the Lutheran Church this week when they read the 23rd Psalm and when we talk about sheep, which we are. Judy Enquist almost said something as the sermon was underway. But it's an uncomfortable metaphor anyway, the metaphor of sheep. We'd much rather the Bible compared us to coyotes an animal with some intelligence, some sense of independence, some wit about it. But sheep we are. Sheep we are. We follow each other. We're terrified. We're herd animals. We're terrified of loneliness. Except at this time of year, we feel blessed. It warms up. The sun shines. The lilacs are almost in bloom. And we feel the great antidote to loneliness, which is each other. Suddenly you wake up in the morning and you've moved from Outer Mongolia to the Caribbean, and you have fruit and vegetables. And suddenly you forgive all of the women whom you used to know. You have no grudge against them whatsoever anymore. You're grateful for their affection. You remember them in their very best moments, going back to when you were in high school. You forget all of the jagged things they might have said to you at bad times. You feel grateful for all the people you've ever loved. All who've loved, there is no mistake in it. They go on forever. You think about yourself when you were 17, the first time you ever lay next to a girl. You lay on the grass. It was in the evening on her parents' lawn. Her parents could see you from the porch. But you didn't mind that because you lay, your two bodies curved together, your face pressed against her hair, your left arm was under her head, your right arm was over her hip. You lay there and you just breathed together, looking up at the stars. And then finally she said, "Say something," she said. It was for just that moment that you had memorized that poem in English. "Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark, whose depths unknown, although his height be taken. Love's not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come. Love alters not with its brief hours and weeks, but bears it out, even to the edge of doom. If this be error, and upon me proved," you said as your arm tightened around her waist on that spring night years ago in Lake Wobegon, "if this be error and upon me proved, I never writ, nor no man ever loved." That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, all the children are above average.